Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gohl. Tonight, we are celebrating the new year, 2013. Happy New Year, everyone. We will be sharing ways to approach the new year, resolutions, goals, life changes, and being different in a better way. And that's what it is about, being different in a better way.
So, we invite you to turn off the electronic devices.
Yes.
Get off the email. Get off the Facebook.
Twitter.
All that stuff. And all those other distractions. And if you like, get out a pad of paper and a pen or a pencil. And then you can jot down some ideas, some notes. Shows you how off I am with technology. Because somebody might want to take their notes on their computers. But anyway, you guys get the point. We'd like you to, you know, give yourself this gift right now. Listen to what we have to say. Have some ideas of your own. We're looking forward to discussing the year and goals and resolutions. But first, as always, we have with us, telling us the news and the events of the week, we have our engineer, our friend, and Outbeat member, Greg Moralia.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for Sunday, January 6th, 2013. Spanish researchers have discovered a major breakthrough in the path toward developing a therapeutic HIV vaccine and possibly a cure. A therapeutic vaccine is the type of shot that treats an existing disease rather than prevent it. Felipe Garcia, one of the scientists on the team at the Barcelona University's hospital clinic, said that the method involves giving instructions to the immune system so it could learn to destroy the virus, which it does not do naturally. According to the study, the viral load of half of the HIV-positive participants dropped 90% after using the therapy for 12 weeks. However, effectiveness declined after 24 weeks, and within a year, the vaccine lost effectiveness, causing participants to return to their regular antiviral therapy. Though the effects were short-term, the researchers said that the study opens the door toward a functional cure or the use of therapeutic vaccines that could lead to a cure. And here in the U.S., newly sworn-in United States Senator Tammy Baldwin is the Advocate magazine's Person of the Year. Tammy Baldwin had just graduated from Smith College in 1984 as a double major in math and political science. The high school valedictorian and Madison, Wisconsin native had not yet secured a job, but she found an inspiration in Geraldine Ferraro, who that year became the first woman to be nominated for vice president on a majority ticket. Baldwin said, "I remember watching the Democratic convention and her giving her speech and thinking to myself, I can aspire to anything. There's no limits anymore." Baldwin, who was sworn in Thursday as the first openly gay United States senator, said she hopes her achievement will have a similar ripple effect. And here locally, late last year, the Petaluma Healthcare launched a new LGBTQ support group open to the entire community. The group meets every Monday at 5:30 p.m. at 1179 North McDowell Boulevard in Petaluma at the Center's Serenity Room. The new group is for all who identify as LGBT or who are questioning their sexuality or gender. The group is now the only LGBT support group in Petaluma, and it is also the only LGBT support group open to adults in all of Sonoma County. At the beginning of October, the clinic's medical director, Dr. Danielle Oren, approached Vanessa Reditz, the center's AmeriCorps health navigator, with the possibility of starting an LGBT group after hearing a lot of demand from patients and providers who wanted to see something like this in our community. By November, Vanessa had developed, organized, and was facilitating the clinic's weekly group meeting. Each meeting focuses on a discussion topic. Some of the topics include LGBT parenting, home for the holidays, and stress and coping. Vanessa said, "I can remember coming out for the first time when I was in eighth grade after some encouragement from my therapist, and I remember both the denial and dismissiveness I received from my mother, as well as the warm support and encouragement I received from my friends. I'm grateful for how lucky I was to grow up in a diverse and welcoming community out in Washington, D.C., where even my pastor was an out lesbian, giving me the courage to grow into the self I wanted to be. When I heard about the demand for a support group here at the clinic, I knew immediately that I had an opportunity to impact the lives of LGBT people in our community who had never received such support. The Petaluma Health Center recognizes that LGBT people are members of every community. They are diverse, come from all walks of life, and include people of all races, ethnicities, ages, and socioeconomic status. Studies have shown that the LGBT community has a much higher rate of mental health disorders, including such things as anxiety, depression, and substance abuse, due to the social stigma and fear of violence they face. We also work collectively to build skills to cope with the psychosocial stressors of living with stigma and a threat of violence. For more information about this group, give Vanessa a call at 707-559-7500, extension 695. And finally, registration opens this week at Napa Valley College for their Introduction to LGBT Studies class that will be held this spring on Monday nights from 6:30 to 9:20 p.m. You can register online at the Napa Valley College website, napavalley.edu. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, January 7th at 7 p.m., the Spanish-speaking parent support group will meet at Positive Images, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Tuesday, January 8th at 6:30 p.m., the Transgender North Bay group will meet at the Positive Images Center in Santa Rosa. And on Saturday, January 12th, the Russian River Sisters will present Superhero Bingo at Odd Fellows Hall in Guerneville. This event benefits the Russian River Empowerment Center and the West County Emergency Shelter. Dress up in costume and enjoy good food from Ferns in Monterio. Tickets are available at the sisters' website, rrsisters.org. Doors open at 5:30 p.m., and this is an 18 or over event. If you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, tell us about it by going to our brand new website at outbeatnews.com. And stay connected with us all week on Facebook and Twitter for the latest LGBT news from here in the North Bay and beyond. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greyer.
Thank you. Great job, as always. And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan, and I'm Sheridan, and we're in studio this evening discussing the new year and the opportunity it brings to start fresh. So before we really start our discussion in full detail, we wanted to get everybody to sink down a little bit, ground a little bit.
So...
open up our hearts a little bit.
Yes.
So I thought I'd play a little bit on my brand new Native American flute that Diana and my family members bought for me for my birthday.
But before we do that, and we would like you to maybe if you like to light a candle. We're going to light a candle here. Burn a little sage, but we're not going to burn a little sage. We don't want the sprinklers to go off here. But just... some way to, you know, just allow yourself to drop in. This is the year of the goddess, so we're gonna work with our heart tonight. And so Cher will help us drop in with her flute. So take a listen. Enjoy. Thank you. beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Thank you. Didn't want you to stop. That was so gorgeous.
Thank you.
Talking about landing, huh? Wow.
I hope people enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. Your flute. I mean, you know, I love, as a therapist, I mean, that's what my work is about, is helping people drop. And that flute is a way to allow that to happen.
That's, it makes me drop, too, when I'm playing. Mm. I just close my eyes and I just go in deep inside. And I don't really even know what's going to come out, you know?
Mm. It was beautiful.
Thank you.
And so... So connecting to ourselves and looking at what the new year's, you know, resolutions, what that's all about. Let's just start with what happened with us, what we explored together, share. We can start with the sweat lodge.
Mm.
We have a tradition now that for the last 3 years, I think we've gone to a sweat lodge in Valley Ford where we go in at 11 o'clock in the night and come out in the new year, which is about singing songs and praying and talking about what we want to let go of and what we want to bring in for the new year. It's a beautiful experience. And so that's what we do. We don't go and party hardy out. You want to add anything to that?
We always know when it's New Year's, even though we're in the sweat lodge, because we hear the firecrackers going off and the big trucks, because we're out in Valley Ford. So all the big trucks are going racing round and round and round celebrating the New Year. So even though we're not out of the lodge, we know it has struck 12 a.m. and we know it's Happy New Year. So,
yeah,
I think it's a lovely way to celebrate. And I encourage other people to, you know, leave the alcohol alone and do some going deep inside. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to spend New Year's Eve and you remember it in the morning.
You're talking about your old college days, huh, aren't you?
And you don't have a headache or a stomach ache.
Yeah. And then the next day we woke up and we went to Bodega Bay to the beach and it was absolutely beautiful. It was the best weather for winter, wasn't it? I mean, it was blue skies and the ocean. As a matter of fact, I put a shot of that, picture of that on Facebook. So if you want to check it out, go to Diana.
What struck me about the beach that day were so many families were out together. Parents were with their kids. I've never seen so many kids out at the beach. And they were running around and screaming and running from the water and it was a really beautiful sight, and rarely did we see anybody with jackets on, and that's just rare for Bodega Bay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always so cold there usually. Mm-hmm. So it was quite wonderful.
Really beautiful. So what about you, Greg? You want to share anything? What did you do? You and Tony, did you do something special?
Well, of course, we were off for 2 weeks, which is always special. but, you know, it was great because we both of us teach, and by the end of the semester, we're just absolutely just worn out. And we didn't go away this time. We just spent 2 weeks hanging out together, and we spent a lot of time with family and friends and did, you know, a lot of one-day things. And we were sort of talking today on the eve of having to go back to work. It was a great 2 weeks.
What made it great?
I think because we got a chance to spend time together. Mm-hmm. You know, we're so busy with everything that goes on during the school year that when you get some downtime and get that opportunity to reconnect and do some fun things together, we really, really enjoyed it. It was good.
Mm, that's fantastic. Yeah, we're going to get to this later, but we are going to talk about how to reconnect with your loved one. And Greg just, you know, hit it on the nose about spending time with one another because we all get so busy. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, no problem.
That's to come.
Yeah, yeah. So we're curious. So what did you do? Did you make resolutions? You know that. We all know that everyone, but not everyone, but most people, the beginning of the year, they know it's about resolutions time. What goals can they fulfill? What goals can they go after? I like this. I was reading something, and I read something about the commitment ritual for self-improvement. I like that. That's what it is, really. It's a commitment to yourself for the new year. And a lot of people indulge and many don't. That's true. And many goals go unmet.
Just like just taking advantage of the fact that it's a new year and people see it as an opportunity to say, okay, I did want to lose 10 pounds. It didn't work out last year. I'll try again, or stop smoking, or stop drinking, or all the things that people do that maybe aren't healthy. They look at it and they see it as an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So the ultimate goal, though, is to make life better for ourselves. And I think that's what's the key. That's what's important. But there's a lot of negativity out there that a lot of people saying is a joke. You know, why do people do it? Because by mid-year, people have not met their goals, or they're, you know, something is wrong with it. The picture is really bad. So the question is, why is there such negativity around people wanting to remake improvement, to remake themselves, to improve their lives? Cher, that's so important.
There's so many naysayers out there. And I think one of the ways to live a healthier life is not to listen to the naysayers, mm-hmm. You know? I think when somebody tries to do some self-improvement, it makes other people look at themselves and it makes them feel uncomfortable and they don't like that. So they try to put you down so that you'll stop, and then you're making them feel more comfortable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you might be dying inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so the way I look at it is, if people are not being successful in this, you know, trying to recreate their lives, I want to look at the underlying issues. What is causing them to struggle and not fulfill their goals and not do what they need to do for themselves? If the desire is there and it's not happening, what's going on?
So you mean if they listen to the naysayers and they stop, why would they listen in the first place?
Or not even listen to the naysayers, just in themselves, they're struggling, you know? What is really going on? And I think, you know, people are stuck for many reasons, you know? It's because they know what the familiar is and it feels comfortable, or it could be about fear, you know, or the lack of tools, you know? But my focus is not on on the negativity. My focus is on how do we help people move forward if that's what they want to create, a better life, you know? So that's what setting resolutions are about for me. It's like reflecting on the past, changing old ways, and making goals to become a new, changed person.
It sounds easy. If it's so easy, why doesn't it work?
More attention need to go to it. You know, mm-hmm. Honestly, I believe it shouldn't even just happen just at the first of the year. I believe people need to improve themselves on a quarterly basis or a monthly basis. You know, how do you sit with yourself? You know, like your native flute playing. Listen to some music. Do more meditation to help ground us so we can see ourselves a little bit better.
Taking time for self-reflection.
Taking time. It's really crucial. I mean, because I'm saying this because I'm privy to people's information. And I hear a lot and I see a lot. And I know there's a lot of people struggling out in the world to show up and to be themselves. So my focus is to really push people, not just at the first of the year, but since we're talking about New Year's, we're going to just stick with that. But to do it on a more regular basis, to set goals for themselves. So, you know, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I think it's good to do it more than just once a year. I think that's what gets people into trouble, mm-hmm. when they do it once a year, mm-hmm. Because a year is too long. Mm-hmm. If somebody says, okay, I want to save more money this year, and they get to December and they look at their budget and they might say, well, I didn't save any money this year. Mm-hmm. You know, it's too late to come up with a plan. I think that if somebody wants to make a change like that, they really need to, they really need to have a plan on how they're going to assess their change, mm-hmm. you know, and that's hard because I think people don't plan for that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, we look in the mirror all the time and make sure there's nothing on our face. Our makeup is just so. Our hair is just so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We look at the mirror, you know, how many times a day, but do we really look inside? Mm-hmm. How many times do we look inside and see if things are okay and do that self-reflection that comes so easily on the outside?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. So I'm thinking about you, Cher, and your job. I mean, I know you quit your job, but how many people are unhappy in their jobs and not being fulfilled in their relationships? You know, just
that's the thing about. So it's been a little over a year since I left my teaching job. Greg was talking about being a teacher. Yeah. So I was a teacher also for 18 years, and I taught a very hard population in alternative education. And there was a point at the end of my career, I guess you could say, that, you know, I just felt like it wasn't right for me anymore. And instead of working for 18 more years, knowing that it wasn't right for me, I left. And it was hard to leave. I think I've talked about this before, but it was hard to leave, of course, leave the kids and leave my colleagues and leave a career that I went to school for and paid for out of my own money, you know. But I had to honor who I was at that time. And, you know, I'm so glad I did that. And I wish other people would have the strength to do that. In the moment, I didn't think I was being strong. But, you know, in hindsight, when I do that self-reflection piece, I know that I was being strong because I was being true and authentic to what I was feeling and what I was thinking. And, you know, your body does not lie. When you get stomach aches and headaches, and your body's telling you, it's giving you messages that something isn't right. Mm-hmm. And so we have a choice to either follow those messages or ignore them. And I think that's what makes people sick, is when they ignore those messages.
And how many times did you want to do that but couldn't, so you just stayed? So this is what we're talking about. And you've done that several times. You wanted to leave, but you say, oh, no, I give it another year.
Yeah.
And you even signed your contract and had to break it.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you're done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think there comes a point in somebody's life where they know that they're done, and it's just listening to that inner voice, the inner wisdom. Mm-hmm. And there are some people that can't afford to leave. And that's
true.
Isn't that the dilemma? It's like, okay, do you stay for money and give up your health, your mental health, your physical health? Or do you leave and then go try to find something else that will bring in money, but that's going to make you happy? Mm. And that's the part where people don't want to take that risk.
Risk, yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely. But it's all about, you know, being happy and showing up for yourself, and also what you can tolerate. You know, how much of that unhappiness you can tolerate.
So I see the new year as an opportunity.
Opportunity.
Even though I agree with you, self-reflection should happen over the course of a year. You said quarterly. I'm thinking, you know, you could check in with yourself weekly, really, to see how things are going, or monthly, you know, or quarterly. But I think more often than quarterly, at least once a month, to just see if you're on your plan, you know, if you make a plan for yourself.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would have said every day, but I was trying to give people a break from once a year.
Okay. I know some people will say too much therapy. You know, I don't want to just go with my life and just do all my self-reflection every darn minute, you know, and then I can't have any fun. Well, what would you say?
It's not like that, though. Uh-huh. I mean, people got a wrong idea when it comes to process. It's just, you know, we've had many discussions about what that is and what that looks like. It's not like you're in therapy all the time. It's just being grounded, you know, just like how the flute made us feel, right? Greg, you know, you nodding your head, you know how that was. So yeah, it was just like dropping inside to take notice. That's it. It's nothing about like lay me on the chair, you know, on the therapy chair, you know.
Well, I think some people feel a little uncomfortable with self-reflection inside, you know, and so they do a lot of numbing with drugs and alcohol and work and other things.
So we are speaking to our community out there and wanting to know that, let you know that we are supportive of you and encouraging you to take moment, take time to reflect and look at where you are in your life and where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. And before our music break, we just wanted to put the concept out that it's important to take your happiness seriously, to seriously take it in as important and not be a passive person going about your life day to day. You know, you can live passively or you can take action, but it comes down to you being happy and to take that seriously. And we'll leave you for a music break with R. Carlos Nakai, some more flute music. Living Proof on KRCB Outbeat Radio, and we're talking to our community and listeners all over the world. My mom's in Florida. We have a friend in Japan and people in Southern California listening. So this being good to yourself knows no boundaries, does it? I mean, you don't have to be gay to be good to yourself, and you don't have to be straight to be good to yourself. It's just for everybody. But our community, our LGBT community in particular, there's so much negativity towards us in the world and so much homophobia that it takes a little bit more strength, doesn't it, to follow through, I think, sometimes. And we were just saying during the music break, Greg was just bringing up that a lot of times people want to give up the very first time they fail at something. Mm. And his example was if you say you're going to work out 5 days a week and you miss a day, then you just want to say, oh, forget it. And, you know, maybe you do say you're going to work out 5 days a week and maybe you do miss a day. So what? Go keep going because it's good for your body and it's good for your soul. But on the other hand, maybe you don't want to make your goals that big, right? It's just like my example before break was I'm going to save money this year. Well, let's get a little more specific. I'm going to save $20 a month this year, right? Or I'm going to save $20 a week. Now that seems more doable than I'm going to save money this year, or mm-hmm. I'm going to work out 5 days a week, which means pretty much every single day of the year, except for weekends. Maybe you want to go smaller and then surprise yourself if you go more, right?
Yes, exactly. That's good examples. So the whole deal is, bottom line is about loving yourself and saying, okay, this is the time for me to focus on myself and doing things differently in my life. So some things that you could think about doing for yourself, you know, you can start off the new year or anytime, you know, what are those things that are in your way? What are those three things? You know, there's a ritual that we did. We didn't talk about our what we did on the rock, share at the beach. You know, three things that you want to get rid of. And we did those things in the sweat lodge as well.
Three things that don't serve you anymore.
Yeah.
Like maybe procrastination or, let's see, maybe...
you know, not expressing your feelings, you know. Holding back,
yeah,
you know, those kinds of things, or being angry instead of just saying what the truth is, or, you know.
Right. So letting those go, that's a big deal, because those are lifelong habits that we grow into.
And then three things that you want to bring into your life, you know, start like that, you know, just really taking time to say, what will work for me this year? 2013 is the year, right?
So, yeah. So remember that pad of paper that I suggested you guys get with a pencil or a pen, just draw a chart, a line down the middle, and just say, you know, three things I want to let go of. And on the other side, three things I want to bring in. And just see what comes up for you. Go ahead and start writing them down.
Yeah, and don't hesitate with three, because I've been doing this with clients.
Yeah.
And it's been incredible, because they've been coming up with lots and lots and lots. So
what
just,
kind of things did they come up with?
Well, I don't want to go into all the little details, but, you know, everybody can just focus on whatever's in them to put out. Mm-hmm. And ritualize it somehow, you know, do some ritual around it. Like I have a goddess statue where I'm allowing clients to write these things on little different color pieces of paper, slips of paper, these things that they want to get rid of. You know, even one could be like not being responsible, you know, not paying your bills on time, you know, all of that. There's some, you know, being more sweet to my partner, more kind to my children, you know, shared as just so many. But we do this, so they put them in the goddess bowl and set a match to them and burn them. And we just watch them just burn.
Mm.
It's very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the flip side of that, you know, and most of the ones that they're burning, they come out into the light in a different way. Like now, my goal, I want to bring in more responsibility, you know. I want to take care of myself better, you know. I want to demand more respect from other people, you know. I want to stop smoking, whatever. I will not smoke, you know. It changes up. So anyway, it's really powerful.
Yeah.
When you're sitting there and you're doing the work and you're really conscious of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to point out, when you let go of three things, then that leaves a void. So you have to fill it up again. So that's what Di's talking about. If you're going to let go of being irresponsible, then you want to bring in more responsibility. That would make sense to me. But on that note, I would like to suggest that if you're going to let go of irresponsibility and bring in to be more responsible, then what does more responsible look like? Give it a label. Give it a, you know, something that you can look at and see. Does it mean setting your alarm clock and getting up on time? Or does it mean going shopping so there's food in the house so you don't have to go buy fast food all the time? You know what I mean?
It's so just break it down.
Yeah, break it down and come up with a plan. And don't be so overwhelming with it, because like Greg was saying, when people fail, they just want to give up. Well, don't set yourself up to fail. Set yourself up for success.
Mm-hmm. And it works when you do it with a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Like Cher and I, we do it together. If you have a partner, if you don't, do it with some friends, or gather a group of people together and do it. It'll be fun to set resolutions together like that and to challenge each other.
You know what we used to do? I don't know if you remember this, Diana, but when we had foster kids, we always had them write, and we did too. They would write their New Year's resolutions. We would put them in an envelope with their name on the envelope and just hide the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
And then on December 31st of the next year, we would give them the envelope with their name and their handwriting, and they would open it up and see if their resolutions came true.
We would all do that.
We would all do that. It was really, really fun. But that did not involve self-reflection during the year, so we would keep what we said in the envelope, we would keep that fresh. You know, it was more of a fun thing for our kids. They were young. They were in elementary school, and it was just really a trip. And I remember one of our kids did the envelope, and then she had moved. And I found the envelope like 2 or 3 years later, and I still have not opened up that envelope. I have no idea what's in there. And I just, Karina, if you're listening, it's yours. I just wanted to give Karina back her envelope that's never been opened when she was like 15. And now she's like 27 or something. I don't know.
I don't think she's that old, but
25, 23. I don't know. So anyway, that's a fun thing to do with your kids if you have them.
Yeah. So, Okay, so you want to switch gears now?
Sure.
And we did some research online, and we thought we would talk about some of these inspirational quotes that we found. So one is, chase your passion, not your pension.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Waitley. What do you think? That's a cool one, huh?
Yeah, that's kind of what I did. And when I see that, I went, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Because the passion thing is what feeds you, mm-hmm. what feeds your soul. And the money thing is important, true, but I don't think you necessarily need to work 30 years at a job you don't like to get a pension. I don't think it's necessarily the way, that's how it used to be. And I think things are changing. Things are mm-hmm. changing now. People don't have to settle for that.
Okay, here's another one. You will never win if you never begin. Whoa. Gotta start.
That's Helen Rowland. Yep. Okay, here's one. I like this one. A smile is the light in your window that tells others that there's a caring, sharing person inside. That's Dennis Waitley again. He's a motivational speaker. But, I mean, that one is just so... If you go walk down the street, I mean, people don't smile at each other. They're in their own world. And now with phones, people are on phones. People are talking on, you know, out, you know, people are just talking and you assume they're on a phone call, and connecting with one another is getting harder and harder and harder. Mm-hmm. So I like that one. A smile is the light in your window that tells others that there's a caring, sharing person inside.
That's nice. You love that one, I know, Cher, because you have such a wonderful, warm smile.
Thank you.
It's contagious.
Thank you.
So here's Rumi. I love Rumi. If all you can do is crawl, start crawling. Wow. Powerful.
That's profound. And that kind of talks about what we've been talking about as far as, you know, Greg's thing about if people fail, then they just say, forget it. Right? If you don't go 5 days a week and you go four, then go four. That's exactly what Rumi's talking about.
And here's another one. I love this one. Although no one can go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start from now and make a brand new beginning.
Ending.
I mean, I'm sorry, brand new ending. Wow.
Let's say it one more time.
Although no one can go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. Wow.
That's deep.
Carl Bard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a powerful one.
Yeah, and that just gives us, you know, if you listen to that, Di and I have been telling all our kids who ever lived with us, we had 26 kids, you don't have to be your background, you know? A lot of people have a rough start. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to live like that. You have choices.
Yes. I love that. Make a brand new ending. Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. How about this one? Let's see. Do not wait until the conditions are perfect to begin. Beginning makes the conditions perfect.
Oh, see? Beautiful.
Do not wait until the conditions are perfect to begin. Beginning makes the conditions perfect. Mm-hmm. That's Alan Cohen.
Mm-hmm. Wait, and nothing ever happens, right?
Nothing ever happens. That is correct.
There are two mistakes one can make along the road to truth. Not going all the way and not starting. Buddha. Wow.
That's a good one. I mean, these are, you know, inspirational quotes to help people, you know, bite the bullet and decide, okay, maybe I will start. Maybe I do need to do some self-reflection. Maybe I do need to live a better life, a healthier life.
Not starting. I've heard that one for many, many years. A lot of people have lots of dreams.
But don't know how to start.
They're just afraid to start because they don't know what's coming, how to look far enough ahead.
You know, I had some people in my life who, they weren't teachers, they were helpers at the school. And I know that they wanted to, they had big ideas and big dreams too, but what stopped them was they felt like they couldn't write. So instead of trying to be better writers so that they could fulfill their dreams, they just didn't do anything. You know, and that people then become bitter and resentful and unhappy if you can't fulfill your dreams or at least work toward them, you know?
This is right up the alley right here, Cher. This is great. Don't worry about being worried. You're heading out on an adventure. And you can change your mind along the way and try something else. People feel like they're stuck all the time. And that's, again, we keep going back to Greg, but your example was so great about the exercise. You know, you can change the plan.
You can change the plan.
Yeah.
You don't have to just stop.
Yes.
I think stopping is easy. And it's you know, it's easy to rationalize why you stop. Well, I screwed up, so forget it. Mm. You know, and boy, again, here we are. Could you read that again?
Tracy Kidder, yeah. Don't worry about being worried. You're heading out on an adventure, and you can change your mind along the way and try something else. So, right? So supportive, these quotes. These are great.
Here's another one. And now we welcome the new year, full of things that have never been. That's Rika. And now we welcome the new year, full of things that have never been.
Wow. Think about that. That's huge, huh?
Yeah. It just kind of taps into the imagination part of being human. And I remember watching this movie with you, Di, this, it was with Morgan Freeman, about these, this little girl who wanted to be a writer and she didn't know how to start. And he was a writer, and she wanted him to teach her. And he kept asking her this question throughout the whole movie. Look down that road and show me what's not there. Tell me what's not there. And she had no idea what he was talking about. And by the end, she got it. And that's what this quote means to me right here, is that it's full of things that have never been. It's like our imagination. What is coming? You know, Facebook wasn't here 10 years ago. When was Facebook, like, big? Do you know, Greg? Like, maybe 5 years ago it was just starting to surface, you know? I mean, we don't know what's going to happen as time travels on. Greg's looking up. Greg's cool. He is the best. Okay, so anyway, you have one more for us,
Doug? I want the secret. The secret to this one. The secret to living the life of your dreams is to start living the life of your dreams today in every little way you possibly can. Look at that. Start today. Those baby steps.
Mike Dooley. Yeah. Okay. Instead of waiting for tomorrow, just do it. Just start it. Just make the move. We're going to take a little music break now. Again, a little bit of music from Nakai, one of our most favorite musicians. Enjoy. That was Nakai playing off his album. What's it called again? Sorry. Here it is. In a Distant Place. And that number, that was number six, called Riding the Wind. I love those drums, man. Whew. And the first one we listened to was called A Gathering of Eagles. Beautiful, wonderful CD, In a Distant Place. So we have some advice for couples. Because we know there's a lot of singles out there, but there's a lot of couples out there too. And, you know, Greg talked earlier about what he and Tony did, which was spend time together. And that was one of our things under our couples advice, because people, like we were saying, there's not a lot of time. So exercise together. Find something that you love to do. Cook together. Find a recipe and explore cooking. Play games together. You know, the little things.
Yeah, you don't have to make a grand, big, huge thing. Just some of the small stuff. I have couples have date nights. You know, plan if you don't have date nights. That will be helpful.
And put it in the calendar. Don't put it in your mind and not tell your partner about it.
Yeah, so you know, take you know, to start off is to really come together and look at your couple's relationship and say, for this year, this is what we want to do. This is what we want to implement. These are the changes we want to make. Another one is get more romantic with each other, and that's part of the date night. So spending time together that way.
But it could be little things too, Di. Like I love coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
So when you do when you grind the coffee seeds for me, or coffee beans for me, or when you make it for me, I mean, that's such a small gesture, but it's really lovely. Or when I make chai for you, or
okay, gosh, I do that more for you. Okay.
Thank you. opening the car door for each other. I mean, you know, that's a little thing. It takes 2 seconds. It takes no money. And it just tells your partner that they're important to you and that you love them and cherish them.
Exactly. Listening is always important. My work with couples and families, that people don't feel like they're being heard or listened to. So do more listening. Argue less.
Well, with the listening thing, sometimes people don't want advice. And I know that's what, you know, if somebody's telling you a problem, anybody want to fix it, right? But sometimes just listen, just be that ear.
You can ask as well.
Yeah, you can ask.
I want to offer you some advice, and if they say no, honor that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so that's part of arguing less about it. If you honor that, then you won't argue as much. But, you know, just really try, if you argue a lot in your relationship, try and decrease that half by half would be good.
You could keep score. I mean, Di and I, one year I gave beautiful wine glasses to each couple in my family. Each of my sisters had a boyfriend, and my mom and dad, and then Diana and me. We each had two wine glasses and some marbles. And every time there was an argument, we put a marble into the empty glass. And the whole idea was not to see that glass grow with marbles. Or, you know, you could make a fun game out of it.
Yeah, you could create whatever you want.
You know, if there's a word that your partner uses that you do not like, you know, you could put the marble in every time they use it. And it's a good visual for them, you know.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I remember that, Cher. Compromise more. Pick your battles. Right? We said take your partner on a date. Quality time. We talked about quality time. All those are important.
What about compliments? I mean, just giving your partner compliments is free, and it takes 2 seconds like before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody, I don't know if there's anyone in the world that gets tired of a compliment, right?
Compliments are good.
Yeah. Compliments are fabulous, and it makes the giver of the compliment feel good when that whatever it was they're complimenting was received, and, you know, you're making somebody smile, and it feels good, and it feels good to hear, too.
And thank yous are nice, going with the compliments there. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you, honey. Please. Thank you. Uh-huh. You know? And say I love you.
A lot.
A lot.
All the time.
A lot. More than we do. I know a lot of couples who are not saying that those three words too often. So it really makes a difference.
I think it's difference when you also when you say I love you versus love you.
Yeah.
You I think it's so? Different. I do. Uh-huh.
And how different?
It's you just take more ownership of it. Like I love you versus okay, see you later. Love you. You know, that's
running
just so
out
flippant.
The door.
Yeah.
Kind of running
it's
out
flippant
the door.
Uh-huh. And it's, you know, it's not as meaningful.
Mm-hmm. So say it with meaning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You simply can't say these words enough. So yeah, please, please, couples, take care of yourselves and each other for sure. This new year, the year of the heart. We're going to focus on our hearts these days. So I would like to share with you a poem that I wrote, and it's very connected to the new year. And it's called Imprisoned Potential. Art on the beach. I search for the perfect rock. Balancing myself, I step slowly across many of them. Finally, I see it and grab it. A huge smile crosses my face. Something about the size, the shape, the texture, the weight thrills me. I bring it back to the place where we settled. The cozy place where we are comforted, protected from the directness of the burning sun. Ever so gorgeous, medicinal. The sprays of flying sand from the sharp blows of the wind. I settle in and pull forth my paints, admiring the beauty and brilliancy of the rainbow of colors, all standing proudly on their own, just present and bright, illuminating life. I begin to paint lines, 1-inch thick lines, choosing one color, then another. I brush with pleasure and excitement. Over the rocks, I stroke the paint uniformly. I am deeply touched by the beauty before me. I think about my life and the lives of so many others. The thought of lost selves. The inability to express authentically, to show up uniquely. I immediately think, imprisoned potential. I grab the black paint, dip my brush, and stroke in the opposite direction of the brilliant life colors placed so expressively on the rock. My mood changes as each stroke is laid. I feel my body shiver, my heart saddens, my eyes moisten with tears. I become colder with each stroke. Before long, my whole body and soul feels hidden, lost, unseen, unimportant. Something inside collapses. My breathing slows. My life force, my aliveness are smothered, suffocated. Imprisoned potential. Gone are all the colors. Lifeblood gone, buried, wasted, asleep, dead. Imprisoned potential. Lost color, lost vibrancy, lost expression, lost uniqueness, lost joy, loss of potential living. One that doesn't measure up to the way it was before the strokes of imprisoned bars of black paint. The way it was in the beginning, beautiful, free, innocent, open, trusting, alive. Imagine it back to the beginning, the way it was, the way it can be, bursting with color, illuminating life, present and bright. Potential allowed to develop, potential allowed to actualize, allowed to surface on its own time, freed from the bars of prison, freed potential.
Wow, that was something else. I remember when you actually took that rock and painted it at the beach, and then this poem came out of that. Pretty amazing, Ms. Dr. Diana Grayer.
Yeah, it felt good to read it again.
Mm-hmm.
It says a lot. You know, it's like, how do we come forth? And speaking about the New Year's and the New Year and looking at the resolution and the changes that you want to make in your life is the way to love yourself and move forward meeting your goals.
Freed potential. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Instead of imprisoned potential.
Potential.
Freed
At the end.
Freed
yeah.
potential. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of gets back to what we were talking about in the beginning about taking your happiness seriously. You have all this potential inside of you, people out there listening. And it's up to you if you want to let it go, want to let it out. You might not be able to stop it.
Gotta be nice.
But like Diana said, illuminated with life, illuminated with light. So we're going to leave you tonight with this quote from Oprah. You want to say it, Di?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is what Oprah says. Cheers to a new year and another chance for us to get it right. We'll leave you with that quote from Oprah. Remember, you too can be living proof that you can be vibrant and alive and have freed potential to live your dream.
Yes.
Good night.